Hi, Bobby here. I'm recording this clip from the middle of a very hectic week, which is actually full of clips itself. The reason being I have two big deadlines, one of which is to complete my part of the judging for the British Podcast Awards, and the other deadline is for our submissions to potentially win some awards at the Irish Podcast Awards. So yeah, why are these deadlines both in the same week? God alone knows, but there's a lot going on. And as such, and in the interest of not burning myself out, because I try and generally steer clear from the irony of this show about mental health being a thing that negatively impacts my mental health, I'm taking the week to focus on these impending deadlines and have a break from our regular programming. But I'm jumping on partly to tell you that, and partly to introduce today's, we're going to call it bonus content, special episode, something like that. And this is where I talk about clips, because when you enter either of the awards that I mentioned, you submit a series of clips to give an idea of your overall show. And this week, having the surreal experience of being both sides of the process in the same week, I can very much vouch for, when judging the British Podcast Awards, how helpful it is as a judge to get highlight snippets of people's show across multiple episodes, and in particular its range and elements of it that the podcaster is most keen to make sure are showcased for the judges. So it definitely is, to me, a brilliant way of going about it, and maybe a nice motivator whilst I'm doing the constantly surprising. Every year I get surprised by how long it takes to find clips of your own show. And is some of that a perfectionism? Probably. But I do genuinely want to showcase the best of what we do here on these podcasts. And so in today's episode, I'm going to include a specially curated for you series of clips that include some of them that won us a silver award for Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast last year, and some of the ones that we considered submitting but didn't, or ones that we're considering submitting this time, and they may or may not make it into the final entry. So with that all said, here is a snapshot into my other podcast, Dating Games, the Modern Relationships podcast, and I'll include in the episode description where you can find them. And with all that said, let's get into it. It feels really weird not to say, but first, I'm truly a cartoon of myself at this point. Some days you're like, am I even real? Maybe that's the true like elevation of a podcaster, when you go from trying to be your realest, most authentic self on the mic, and then maybe you get to a point where you achieve that to such an extent that the faux version of you is then the one behind the mic, trying to be consistent with the person that the world knows you to be. I'm joking. That's meta even for me, but enjoy the clips.
If I'm honest, it was the first time maybe since he moved to New York, he had someone listen. So my how are you turned into his like fucking religious dump, and how people don't care enough about religion. And maybe he genuinely thought that I'd be like, yes, hype, but I'm honestly, I believe it all and I don't believe any of it. If you're to tell me whatever aliens made us, I'd be like, grant, you know, I just, who am I to say anything's wrong or anything's right? And I think religion is beautiful if you use it for the right ways. And I think, you know, people ruin it. People ruin religion, you know, and people are terrible. But he wasn't looking at me the whole time. And it was definitely like a rant. And then he said, started to go on about how he doesn't believe in sex before marriage. I was like, oh, right. Okay. Well, then why am I here? Because like, I'm not going to marry him. You know? And I started to try and, because I was younger and an idiot, and I started to try and like, I had just gotten over a lot of shame with sex and stuff, especially coming to New York. So I started to try and like convince him about like how great sex can be. And I was like, honestly, it's not just like something dirty. It can be like how you find out you're in love with someone. And he was like, that's not true. I love my family. And then I was just trying to be silly. And I was like, yeah, like, I hope you're not fucking your family. And then he did not find that funny at all. He was not impressed. And then I don't know why, but I was like, got on the topic of masturbation. Like, what? Like, most people would have left, but I, And he was like, I don't do that. That's like disgusting.
I love that you're straddling the line of being a really good and I'm sure supportive listener, which is probably was part of him feeling safe saying these things. But then also being like, but I'm a good listener with some thoughts in return.
Yeah, and like the worst part about it, we're talking about it all. It's Brooklyn. So Brooklyn, all the bars are like random chairs. We just happen to be sitting on a pew, like a church chair. And the way the pew is set up, I'm like the table. And then it's like, you know, it's like the pew. So it's like a high. High so back. I can't like get out to my left. Yeah. So I'm kind of trapped. Like the only way out would be to crawl over the bloody table.
You know, my dating experiences over the past like couple of years have been like, and I mean, granted, I'm obviously just one side of the story, but like for me, they've been like pretty positive. Like things have been good. And that only started when I started working on the relationship with myself. So like, I love exploring that relationship. And I think sitting down and like actually like asking myself tough questions and being like objective and not trying to hold any kind of like biases towards my answers or how I want to approach something. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was really, really fun. So I think anybody can do that. I just did it in a different form. Like I decided to record it, but I think you can have conversations with yourself in like the mirror every morning. And I think that can be hugely positive. Like talk to the one person that you spend every single hour of every single day from the day you're born till the day you die. Of course, I'm going to talk with that person. I mean, like, what am I just going to like leave them like, you know, in the back corner? They're just like, hey, I'm still here. And you're like, shut up. Like, no, you gotta let them talk.
Yeah. I mean, good luck ignoring them if not.
I tried to for years and it landed me in way too many therapist offices. So, I mean, I might as well let the guy have a say.
She was a blonde air stewardess who drove a black Pontiac Trans Am. Now, if you're not familiar with the car, do you remember did you ever hear the movie Smokey and the Bandit?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that was the car, right? So this cool, you know, you see the one with the flames on the front of it? That was the car she had. So you picture, we're dating for about maybe a couple of weeks. We're making out in the car, right? Necking, I believe, was the expression back then. Right? Next thing you know, we're in the car, and I heard a car come up, pull up behind us and stop. And then there was a huge spotlight just shining right in us, right? Like a massive spot. So I just turn around and I start to open the car door to get out because Jim, my friend, had gone away with this woman in a pickup truck. And I thought, that's them. They've come back and they're taking the piss. As I just put one foot outside the car, I hear an incredibly authoritarian woman's voice going, get back in the vehicle. Instantly, I know it was a cop. There was no question. The voice was too perfect. Had to be a cop, right? So I close the door, get back in, push down the window, and I'm in the passenger seat. Shannon was driving, and I lean out the window. I go, is there a problem, officer? And I turn to Shannon, and I've always wanted to see that. She goes, just stay in your vehicle, right? So then I could tell, okay, this is quite serious. She would be really, really drunk. Yeah. So I was sitting there for about 5 or 6 minutes, and Shannon is kind of going, kiss me, Steve. I'm going, no. and she was just, you know, getting that kind of frisky, blah, 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 blah. Whereas I'm going, no, this is not, I'm not, this is something I can feel, there's something dodgy here. Next thing you know, another police car comes flying down. No sirens, but the lights off, right? Flashy, flashy, flashy lights. Pulls up behind. Obviously, there's a bit of a conflab going on. Next thing, to the passenger side window appears this. I'll never forget it. You could see a stomach. The Sam Brown belt is called. That's the cop belt with the gun. And I could just see the bottom of his badge just in the window. And he leans down. He's a big, huge, red-haired guy. Big, huge, big, massive square head. And he goes, sir, can I see some ID, please? And I'm there, sure, no problem. Right? And I'm still going, why the hell are they talking to me? She's the driver. I'm just sitting like, what were you doing here? Oh, we were just up having a few drinks and now we're kissing, right? Nixon, open the boot and he reaches in. He takes out what they would call a tire iron, what we call the wheel brace.
Uh-huh.
And he shines his torch along it, right? Like looking at it real close. And then he just puts it back in. He goes, it's okay, you're free to go. And I went, sorry, would you mind telling me what was going on? Because it was now him and a female cop. The female cop was first been. And he said, oh, he said, we're looking for a person who frequents this area for a double attempted homicide this evening. And you've completely matched his description. And I just had an epiphany. And I went, if I say a name, and then I went, sorry, forget it. And he goes, what? I said, if I say a name, would you tell me if I'm right or wrong? And he goes, say the name. And I named my boss's son, right? Who looked similar to me, but he was always creepy. Every woman working there would always go, no, I don't know, we're near this guy. And he goes, that's him. And at that exact moment, came over the radio. You know, he can never even understand it, but they can. And they went, Chimon goes, we got him. What had happened was he was sitting on the courthouse. They found him sitting on the courthouse steps, holding the poker He met some woman, went back to her place. Obviously, she got freaked out in some way. He tried to kill her with a poker. Her roommate came back. He tried to kill her and then ran. And then, of course, cracked up was found on the thing, right? He ended up getting 99 years for that, right? But the finale of the story was, as they're saying good luck and goodbye and all this and da-da-da, the woman, cop said to me, she said, I'm very glad you stayed in the car, sir. And I was there, why? She said, if you tried to get out a second time, she said, I had a gun trained in your head for 15 minutes, I would have shot you. I was. And I swear, my
America.
Legs, America. My legs, and it was the only time I've ever felt it, my legs literally felt watery just for one split second. Like just this tiny wobble. I was like, I was nearly shot and killed. And like, Shannon's all turned on beside me. I'm thinking it's hilarious. No problem, officer. And it was a gun trained to my head. So there's a date story for you if you want one. Which, yeah, wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying don't lie at the start of relationships. That would be insane. Obviously, you have to lie if someone's going to fall in love with you. I just think, like, lie smaller. You know what I mean? Like, say you like Wes Anderson. You don't need to say you have a piercing you don't have. Like, just, oh, crazy. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, it was just so, you're right. It was like, what value do I have if I don't conform to? It was also like the need to conform immediately to somebody who I didn't know's ideal. Like, I prioritized a stranger's ideal over my own personhood. And I think a lot of people do that in their youth. But I'm starting to learn that I also have value separate to dating. And that being different, that's also like being different to your partner is actually a good thing. I think I had this like, do you ever, you know when you watch those children on Love Island and they're like, he's like the male version of me and it's amazing. Like, that is truly hell to me. Like, why would I want to date somebody who's exactly the same as me? I will learn nothing. I will challenge nothing. We will bore each other.
Yeah.
So there.
No, I think some great points. I forgot to tell you before we started. You get awarded points. So here, have some. They'll be edited in later.
How exciting.
And yeah, you reminded me of myself talking about this kind of conformity, how it's made up. We're meeting a stranger, we're assuming what their priorities are in relationships, which is generally something they've had to spend a lot of time thinking through for themselves. We can't assume it. They may have no idea what they want. And yet we're going to ride in there and be like, I've decided me, but only if I'm this weird skewed version that I then need to keep up.
Yeah, allow me to bend and like construe myself into something I've decided you want without checking in with you and without knowing you. Like, also, like, that's the thing. My first questions when I used to date in my 20s were always essentially like, what do you want? How do I be that for you? Not like, who are you? What's your deal? Do I like you? Like, I didn't ask any of those questions of myself. So I'm glad to be in my 30s for that reason.
And I'm going to tell you a story which I've never really talked about, which I hope I can get through without crying. But it really made this thing clear to me. So my mother had a stroke in January 2019. It was unexpected. You know, I'm very close to my mom. So I rushed to India and my tour was starting and I didn't know what to do. And anyway, she was in the hospital with a stroke and was paralyzed. Half of her was paralyzed. And she was such a vital woman. And there she was. And we didn't, you know, didn't know if she would talk again, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she spoke again, but only through one side of her face, which I do a great impression of. Because mommy, if there's one thing she taught us, it was laugh through everything. Because otherwise, what's your fucking choice? What's the alternative? 3 months after my mother had her stroke, she was fed with a tube through her nose and she hated it. And the only thing she used to say to me is, can I have a coffee? Can I have a coffee? And I used to say, Ma, I can't. And she used to say, she used to give me ideas. She used to say, you know, at night, just give me a little bit of coffee. And I'd be like, Ma, they don't know if your throat is working. So I can't, what if you choke? She said, at least I'll die on coffee. I love coffee. I said, no, Ma, I'm not going to stay in the hospital at night and kill you with coffee. And she said, you don't never do anything for your mother, such a useless daughter. Anyway, 3 months in, they decided that they were going to test whether her throat muscles could move. So they squeezed some fresh juice and it was fresh pomegranate, which is at that time was in season in Coimbatore in South India, where my mother was. And my dad was running around doing admin. We had a big hospital room and then a living room because it was like a long-term stay ward. And I stood by while the nurses made the juice and they said to me, you can give her a few drops. So I said, Ma, are you ready? And she said, is it coffee? And I said, no. She said, fuck this. And I was like, don't say that. Don't say it. The nurses are scared. What are you doing? You got to try this. And she said, I fuck it. I said, you don't fuck it. Just do the thing. I said, I promise you, you'll like it. She was so funny. She said, nahi chahiye mujhe ye bhencho. She said, I don't want this sister fucking drink. I'm like, there's no need. Because in India, instead of motherfucker, you say sister fucker a lot. She said, I don't want this sister fucking drink. I'm like, just taste it. So I put a few drops of it on her. And she was from the, like, she was a farmer. She was a land-owning family she came from. So she knew fruits and vegetables and fresh and what soil. And so I gave her a few drops of this juice and she tasted it. And she said, anar ka juice. It's pomegranate. And remember, this woman had not tasted anything for 3.5 months. I said, yeah, it is. And then she said, it's fresh pomegranate because they must be in season. Is it the spring? I said, it is, Ma, it's March. And she said, it's fresh. It's a very good quality pomegranate. I said, yeah. And then she said, take the cup and make sure your father has some.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, damn, her love for my father always resided in making sure that he ate well and the freshest of fruit was there for him. And her first reaction after tasting something was, make sure your father has it. And this is the father she said, you know, I hate your father. And I think that's in that moment, I thought, you know, my generation or us or modern people, you know, we think love resides in endless compliments and great sex. And, you know, do you know me? Do you hear me? All those things. And I don't think my mother got a lot of that. But she was so connected to her love for my father. It made her such a robust creature. And I think long term, and they were married almost 60 years. I think I see that as an inspiration. I think I want to stay connected with whatever I think my love for my spouse is, because it makes me a more robust creature. And isn't that how we all want to live?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's about two people who believe in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, how much my mother wanted to be happy. That was my mother's aim in life. She used to say, I want to be in constant self-delight. I was like, that doesn't even make sense. She said, I want to be in a state of constant self-delight.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.